What was the United States founded upon? We're going to discuss it. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, hi, and thank you for joining me. You're listening to Dr. Fred and a continuing episode of Study, Grow, Know. And today, as I mentioned last time, well, actually 2 times ago, we're going to talk a little bit about Tom Horn's latest book, Petrus Romanus. And it goes into great detail regarding the founders of the United States and how they mapped Washington, D.C., along with the particular reasons why this nation was begun at all. Now, their involvement in the mystery religions is not unknown, and these secret societies have always seen the United States as the new Atlantis, from which a new world order would rise. Now, this is all according to Tom Horn's latest book. That's always been the plan, which makes it even more disconcerting to hear people say that if only America would repent and return to her founding roots, God would once again bless her. Well, if it's true that this country was founded for the sole purpose of being the next Atlantis, it's clear that the God of the Bible was never in the picture from the beginning. Certainly a God was, but not necessarily the God of the Bible. Certainly the Bible was used, but maybe from a different perspective or a different interpretation. Through the use of deceptive language, Satan merely masqueraded as the God of the Bible, causing people to believe that this nation began as a Christian one, offering freedom and sanctuary from the claustrophobic and overbearing Church of England and the injustices encountered throughout Europe at that time. However, it is just as clear that the leaders who brought this country to fruition had a clear understanding of what lay in store and actively engaged in bringing that agenda to the fore. Now, consider this from Freemason David Ovison, who tells us this, quote, "When the cornerstone of the U.S. Capitol building was laid, it was done through Masonic ritual meant to procure approval of the pagan gods. As recorded in 2 bronze panels on the Senate doors of the Capitol, George Washington is seen standing in front of a Mason who holds 2 versions of the Masonic square, while he himself uses a Masonic trowel on the cornerstone. The apron Washington so famously wore that day bears specific Masonic symbolism designed to please the invisible agencies who watched over the event," unquote. Now, that's a quote from Horn's book. In point of fact, it would appear that the entire layout of Washington, D.C. was carefully overseen by many who drafted the founding documents for the creation of this country, America. As many as 44, though probably a lower number, of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Freemasons, dedicated to the secret destiny of America as the new Atlantis. Numerous U.S. presidents were part of the Freemason craft that these Rosicrucian Masonic brothers engineered the U.S. city named after America's first president, according to an occult design, is indisputable today, and that's from Tom Horn. Horn offers the following as well as he continues to direct our attention to the actual facts surrounding the founding of America and the physical creation of its capital city. He says this, "For those unfamiliar with this secret American Masonic history, involvement by Freemasons in the development of early America and the symbolic layout of Washington, D.C. as the capital for the new Atlantis, it's been so well documented over the last 2 decades that even the most arduous Masons have ceased denying the affiliation," unquote. Now, even while not denying what the founders of this country had in mind, Horn says, "Most Masons vigorously deny that the talisman-like street designs, government buildings, and Masonic monuments were meant for what researcher David Bay calls an electric-type grid that pulsates with luciferic power 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Notwithstanding," Horn continues, "this denial, the government's own records explain otherwise, clearly stating that the capital city's design was shepherded by those who wanted it to reflect dedication to those ancient pagan gods that Bacon and his followers sought wisdom from, unquote. You know, it would seem that everything connected to the creation of Washington, D.C. was done to please pagan gods. That's the possibility. Satan himself, who, along with many who served him in the spiritual realms, has masqueraded as various pagan deities throughout the history of the world. Now, according to Ovison, he says this, quote, "The dedication of the U.S. Capitol building, Cornerstone in particular, had to be done at a certain astrological time related to the zodiacal constellation Virgo, also known as Isis, while Jupiter was rising in Scorpio, because the cornerstone ceremonial was designed not only to gain the approval of the spiritual beings, but also to ensure that these were content that the building was being brought into the world at the right time," unquote. This is really important. Either these quotes and this information is absolute myth, or it's true. It's either incorrect or it's correct. If it's true that the United States was designed to be the harbinger of the next age, the New World Order, this alone means that America has been thoroughly steeped in the esoteric even before it began. And this is the real tragedy, if it's true. And it is only likely that God blessed anyone in this country at all because of their individual commitment to Jesus Christ, in spite of those who were using occult sleight of hand to bring forth the powers of darkness. You know, there are members of existing groups of Satanists, for instance, that attest to the fact that their craft has been handed down to them from people in colonial America and Europe before that. Now, as we've seen from our quotes and what I brought to you from Tom Horn's Petrus Romanus, it too often seems that people have been taught that in order to gain power from Lucifer and his dark kingdom, certain things had to be done on a certain day or at a specific location on Earth or when certain stars perfectly aligned. The interest in these things, these mystery religions, have caused many to believe that by following prescribed formulae, these spirits or gods would bless specific events given to them, or that the events were designed with their leadership and oversight in mind. In other words, these believers in the occult fully recognize that as they gain spiritual insight into the esoteric realm, certain mysteries, gnosis, knowledge, are revealed to them. Their obligation, then, is to follow the pattern or recipe, if you will, that was provided in order to bring certain things to pass. Now, in this way, they come to believe that they have gained deeper understanding from the dark halls of occultism, and that gives them power over others and power to change the course of future history. Because of that knowledge, they gain a special relationship with those specific beings from other dimensions that are merely using human beings to accomplish their goals for this nation and ultimately for this planet. Human beings submit their will in service to these gods, small g, and in return they are granted access to higher understanding, secret knowledge, gnosis. Now, after all, these initiates will tell you that Lucifer is the one who really cares for humanity, not God. He is the one who offers true knowledge, allowing man to create a better world. The God of the Bible is actually the one who wants to keep mankind from knowing the truth, and they merely point to Adam and Eve to prove this. In essence, then, to the esoteric adherent, Lucifer, not God in Christ, is man's savior. But what if Satan simply created a thoroughly convoluted process by which human beings could be sucked into thinking that the more they uncovered, the more real truth they actually discovered? What if that were the case? What if these same people came to believe that given a certain set of circumstances and their power over those circumstances, they would in turn be able to control powers and principalities so that they could eventually release the Dark Lord onto this earth in order for his will to be done? What about that possibility? In other words, just as Christians partner with God in order that his will be done in and through us, so also has Satan created a very complex system whereby humans are invited to come to him
submit to his lordship and power over them, and they, in return for their subservience, gain immeasurable insight into the mysteries of the universe and power to bring those mysteries forth. The revelation of these mysteries does not even have to be truthful, and that's the tragic part. As long as people gain something, whether true or not, from their hard work and submission to Satan, they will feel compelled to continue to act on Satan's behalf. People who bow to the true God of the universe through Jesus Christ enter into a life where they are constantly asked through Jesus Christ to give up their own wants and desires in favor of God's. The result is, this is a greater and growing reflection of the character of Christ in all things, especially in the ability to love God and our fellow human beings. People who bow to Satan give up the belief that the God of the Bible is the only way, the truth, and the life. This is very easy for unbelievers to do because they already are there. Satan does not expect nor ask his unknowing followers to love one another. In fact, he often promotes a greater sense of selfishness among those who follow him, which is why those most dedicated to him are often exceedingly rich beyond measure. Satan knows how to please in order to keep his followers from running away. Yet it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't satisfy. Please understand what I'm saying. I fully believe that Satan exerts his control over much of what happens on this planet through his ever-present and God-allowed dominion in the spiritual realm above the earth. That's based on Ephesians 6. And in those who are already disobedient, unbelievers, people become the willing, though often fully blinded, channels through which Satan releases greater depths of his power onto the physical realm of this planet. If Satan simply crashed through every door, for instance, that he found, forcing his presence where he had not been previously invited, he would soon be seen for what he is, a usurper and an evil king of the underworld. That would terrify the average person. Instead, would he not benefit far more by creating a system, if he dressed up as light and truth, that he could effectively dangle in front of people so that they would willingly and eventually even abandon open doors wide so that he would become the invited guest into a person's life? Would this plan not work far better for him and his minions? At the highest levels of government and control, I believe that this is exactly what Satan does, and he does it very well. Because he is literally the God of this world, he has every right to do that too. He already controls the hearts of the lost and will use the unbeliever for his advantage at every turn. Now, of course, in order to accomplish something of this nature, he must present himself as something that he's not, an angel of light who comes to this realm for the express purpose of allegedly spreading truth. Satan comes to grant insight into the alleged deep mysteries of the secretive realms. Realms, God says, remain off limits to us. These revealed mysteries are fairly impersonal, unlike the truth of the gospel of Jesus, which is highly personal. Satan treats and uses people as if they are merely part of the whole, while God treats people as individuals. Satan gains far more access to human beings by dressing himself up as an alleged beacon of truth. Because of this, and due to the nature of his message, he is hardly ever expected or even asked to prove the integrity of either himself or his message. People just accept it. He simply presents a message, and because he has created the complex maze ahead of time, he needs only to guide people into discovering its secrets through its manifold paths of quote-unquote enlightenment. Their discovery of it results in their belief that the messenger is filled with integrity because of the apparent truth that they've discovered, as was indicated they would. This is very true in the case of many Satanists. I'm going to generalize a bit here because I simply do not want to point to specific groups that exist within the United States. I don't want to call them by their names, so I'll simply group them all together collectively as Satanists. Readers need and listeners need to understand, though, that there are many branches of Satanism that go by a variety of names and have somewhat different belief systems. Well, in the end, the similarities between the groups meld them together. Well, that's our show for today. We're going to continue this the next time. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how richly blessed you truly are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.